Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Mr. Davis and I'm joined by lukewarm Luke Owen.
Buddy, hello. What am I talking about? Try again. Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis. How the devil are you? I tripped over myself because I was about to say, I'm not that warm at the moment. I'm not really lukewarm Luke Owen at the moment because it's quite chilly in here. But by doing that, and then I thought, well, I can't do that because I've got to do my usual intro. And then I just tripped over myself like a bloody idiot.
Do you just want, because this is like the third time we've done this year, and you have botched every single podcast intro we've done.
Oh, hold on. Hold the phone. I've botched two of three. Oh. I think the AEW one was flawless. But yeah, two out of three is, I would certainly say I did botch.
I've rounded it up. You've botched every single one of them. It's 100% botch. So we could have a new intro.
Oh God, what? Hold on.
Change. People love change.
I mean, you're right. People do love it when we change up the format and stuff. But I've had that intro. You and I have had this intro now for nearly 4 years. Are you gonna try and change it now?
Yeah, we've done a heel turn. We need something else.
Something to freshen up.
The other one's losing steam.
And we can't bring in legends because you and I are the legends. Like if Pete and Andy's show was falling in the ratings, they'd then call us in for like a legends night.
We could bring on Louis or Tempest and just squash them. Mm-hmm. You know, like the sort of thing where DX would have, I don't know, what was it, Gallows and Anderson? And then they'd just roast them.
No, or it was the Revival, wasn't it? Remember, like Raw 25.
That's the one.
Did it just? Yeah. What we could do is we could bring on Nugget and Tempest to review the show when we know the interest isn't at its highest. So, like, you know, maybe like the month before SummerSlam. The views are usually quite low anyway. So they come in. They don't get good numbers. Then we come in to be like, oh, it's all right, lads. You know, if we'll save the show, it's okay. Knowing that it's going to get a SummerSlam bump.
Do you think, how angry do you think Triple H was last week when he had to make a return to save the show, really, with Drew McIntyre testing positive for coronavirus? And it was going against one of the biggest college football games of the season. That's not his shtick. He comes at the end of the football season.
Yeah, but I also think that he's like, well, I can prove my worth. I can prove once again that I'm the big draw and I can get people watching. I don't know. I didn't see the ratings last week. Did he?
Well, the first hour was very big because people wanted to see what Drew McIntyre was going to say. And then they dropped off heavily by the third hour main event for Trips' match, in air quotes, against Orton.
That will leave a mark. Like that will sting, won't it? Because that's your segment. Your segment actively drew away viewers. But granted, I'd imagine they could probably get, you know, that's the third hour. It always drops in the third hour anyway.
Well, I'm going to try out something different every intro now.
Every single intro. Yeah. Crikey. That is.
Welcome and hello to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I'm going to put in pauses every now and again. Sometimes I'm just going to ask a question. I'm Ollie Davis.
Now, do you remember you did go through a period of time where you were trying to add pauses in? It's about 2 years ago now. You were going like trying to add different pauses in or elongate words out.
I get bored easily at things.
While the rest of the internet fears change, Ollie Davis is all about change. He's all about changing it up, not getting into a routine. Hey, the thumbnail's working. It could work more. Let's change it up. I've read a book. Let's change it up again.
Hey, you leave soul for happiness alone. I was genuinely reading this book over the holidays, and I was like, this is interesting. It's a bit wishy-washy. It was about meditation and whatnot. And I thought, but it's actually like, it was interesting from the perspective of a Google engineer who's very well versed in physics and science, sort of unpacking meditation. So I thought, okay, this is interesting because there's like a very pragmatic, practical way behind it. And then like, honestly, the last chapter is, so now I'm going to prove the existence of God.
Bloody hell.
And I was like, oh, what? And then he lays out an argument. I'm like, oh, crap. God does exist?
Oh, did he convince you?
You know, there's that scene in The Simpsons where Homer gets a crayon lodged into his brain and he's filling out his tax return, and he actually accidentally proves that God isn't real. It was that in reverse. It certainly made me not reconsider, but it's an interesting line of inquiry.
I mean, I was just about to ask you, did you see Soul over the Christmas period, because it was up on Disney Plus?
Still haven't. I did WandaVision, of course, on Friday.
What do you think, mate?
It's good. It's watchable. I think it's such a good homage / parody of 50s and 60s TV that it sort of loses a bit with the actual overarching intrigue. What do you think?
I loved it, mate. Absolutely loved it. Well, obviously, Marvel Mark. Like, you just put everything up on screen, I'm going to be like, well, that's 4 stars. And then occasionally you're like, well, that's 5 stars. Or in the case of Doctor Strange, that's 2 stars.
Hey, I like that. They proved the existence of God.
That it is fine. But no, I really dug it, man. I really dug its style. Like, I got a big kick out of its sort of like 50s kitsch. And like, even like, I thought some of like the 50s style jokes still kind of like landed and worked. I really enjoyed it. And then like, you know, watching it back, because I've watched them a couple of times now, and now I can focus on all the stuff, like, you know, picking out, coming up with the theories of where they are and what's happening and this, that, and the other. And that's kind of like what I'm really getting into. If I was to make a sort of a TV comparison, you didn't watch the Flash TV show, did you?
No.
Now, it's Dawson's Creek with superpowers, and it was a bit rubbish. But at the end of every episode, there was like, you know, sort of like the teasers of what the overarching series narrative is, which was about Reverse Flash and things like that. And I was like, well, what it turns out is I'm actually not interested in the episode by episode story, but I am interested in this bit. With WandaVision, I'm interested in both aspects of it. Like, when it ended, I sent like me and Me and my wife just looked at each other and like, yeah, well, can't wait to see the next week. I can't wait to watch another episode of it.
Yeah, I thought it had a very TV network vibe to it. You know, in that sort of Flash or Shield, Agents of Shield, when that was, it's just far more high concept. I found it too episodic, I guess. Yeah,
but that's because it's supposed to be.
Yeah, no, but I think they've, to a fault. No, this is like, I still watched it and I enjoyed it a lot. I was expecting something more immediately engaging, but maybe that's on me.
Yeah, I was going to say, what you wanted was it not to be an episodic TV show, but it is an episodic TV show because it's supposed to be. Like, its whole point is that it's a 50s.
Oh, I understand the concept. Yes.
But I know. But now you're saying like, and so what I wanted was this, but what I got was what it actually is.
They make so many things work. Why can't they give me an episodic overarching narrative?
Oh, you'll get that with time. You'll get that with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but this isn't supposed to be that.
Hey, I watched another superhero thing over the weekend, and I liked it more. Come at me. Wonder Woman 1984 is one third of a decent film.
I was about to say that might be the most controversial statement, because I've not seen it, but I do believe that film is not very well liked, because it's hella messy.
Yeah, but it's DC. You see, like, that's Marvel's fault. I went into that thinking it was going to be Civil War levels of brilliance. And, you know, maybe it will be eventually, because that's Marvel. That's their brand. DC, I knew what I was getting. It was going to be outdated. It was going to be, you know, butchered in the editing room. There was going to be one good performance, which sort of drags the whole movie up a level. That's exactly what I got.
It's all right, Shazam. Anyway, let's get into the show itself, because we've got to talk about Raw now. And I mean, it might be a quick podcast. I haven't got much to say. Here is the show.
Alexa Bliss has a new character. She's an emo now. I'm Mr. Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen. Welcome to the WWE Raw Review edition of the WrestleTalk podcast, which is brought to you by Beer 52. Beer, folks, we're sponsored by beer. Go to beer52.com/WrestleTalk, UK viewers only, to get a free case of delicious craft beer. We will be tucking into this delight later on in the show to sample it. And
look at it.
Look at that. You get snacks as well. These are called Ollie's pretzels. They should be Mr. Davis's pretzels, but I'll let it slide. Right. Last night's episode of Raw wasn't that good. I thought it was quite boring, but it did have a newsworthy ending. I feel like the last month of Raw has always at least closed on something big time, usually in the trifecta of The Fiend, Randy Orton, and Alexa Bliss. Thought the echo was... Why do I forget to disarm her every week? Anyway, and so I would say most of them have been bad. Like, or not to my liking. A lot of people do. All the power to you. I'm not devaluing if you like it. But for me, and I would say Luke as well, it's just not for us. So it's a bit relentless to now have another Fiend, which is what happened at the end of the show. Bliss took on Asuka and revealed herself in her alter ego.
Yeah, I think it is fair to say. I mean, we looked at, you know, the WWE's YouTube channel, and like all of the stuff with Bliss and Asuka and Randy Orton is like the most viewed stuff. And I would argue that's not due to Asuka. I would argue that is down to Alexa Bliss and Alexa Bliss, this new character, because we've seen trends that have followed, like Asuka's segments haven't been doing particularly well, but Alexa Bliss segments on YouTube, at the very least, if you want to use YouTube metrics, are doing like really, really strong numbers. It's the most main event thing on the show, like quite, especially because Drew McIntyre is at home recovering, you know, after testing positive for COVID. So yeah, it's not for me. It's really not. And it's like, out of all the stuff that's on the show, it's the stuff that I was least interested in. And then it took a turn for the worse for me this week, because now Asuka's involved. Mm. And if it was like Asuka's involved and she's being taken seriously, that's a different matter. But I feel like this episode was almost designed to tell you, oh, Asuka doesn't matter, and she's going to be losing that title soon, so get on board with Alexa Bliss. And yeah, the Asuka stuff on this really bothered me.
She doesn't matter twice. She's playing second fiddle. She is the B plot in both Charlotte and Alexa Bliss's stories. And you've got to think that the Bliss and the Flair are going to combine to create an Omni-Bliss Flair.
I dug into some numbers. Thankfully, Nate, one of our website writers, messaged me with a few of these. But I did look into this. So this is Asuka's third singles match to go over 10 minutes, the one she had against Alexa Bliss, since September. She's the women's champion. Mm-hmm. And it's the first one to go over 10 minutes since Survivor Series, when she lost against Sasha Banks. Like, wow. She's the champion. And like, and Nate messaged me going back to like all of her title defenses. And the only title defense that she's had that was over 10 minutes was that one against Mickie James.
If you remember NXT. That one. Yeah, yeah, it's not been good for Asuka. Let's just briefly recap what happened on this episode of Raw in this storyline, because a lot of people, I don't blame you, don't watch Raw. You come to us to find out what happened. So the show opened with Randy Orton cutting a promo. He was wearing a sort of lucha mask, similar to the ones that they give burn victims, but done up like a wrestling mask. And you could see underneath his face were sort of burn scars. His skin was torched a bit. Of course, Bliss fireballed him at the end of last week's episode, and he just said like he doesn't blame Bliss for this. He blames the Fiend, insinuating that Bliss is, I don't know, sort of possessed by the Fiend, and that he's still going to win the Rumble.
Yeah. Do you want to hear my theory on this?
Mm-hmm.
He's not burned. It's all mind games. I think he's going to take the mask off and reveal that he's absolutely fine.
Because, he's going to take the mask off and there's going to be goggles on underneath.
And the reason I'm thinking this is because, I mean, we've seen in the last year that WWE have promised big things and then not delivered on them. They were like, we're going to throw a man off a roof and Money in the Bank. Ah, it's actually, there's a small roof underneath. We're going to tear out someone's eye. Actually, it didn't go all the way out. It just sort of popped back in and it's fine. So they kind of got this thing where they're promising a lot of big things like, oh my God, Randy Orton has got first degree burns. That is something that does not just heal and go away. Like that remains. Like that will always be a part of him. So I think that he is just going to, he is playing mind games with the Fiend and he's going to reveal his face and it's actually just fine.
Well, that will be rubbish. They also said, you know, in WWE's update on Randy's condition after last week, minor burns.
Well,
this
didn't
look like minor burns.
I would imagine it was minor burns last week, and now we're getting the script rewritten. You know, Vince wasn't at work that day. He comes in on the Monday, he's rewritten it, and now it's first degree burns.
Yeah. So that was Randy. That was the only mention we got of him on the show, apart from recaps. It was mainly focused on Bliss, which I am not against. Like last year, when Bliss first sort of moved over to Raw with The Fiend from SmackDown, there was a really cool bit where she was just in the corner. I can't remember the match. Was it Nikki Cross? And she just made her tongue drop like Pennywise in the movie It. Do you remember? And her tongue got really long.
It was just in the Firefly Funhouse, wasn't it?
Was it in the Firefly Funhouse?
Yeah.
Did I fantasy book my own
memory?
Yeah, you
totally did. It was just in the Firefly Funhouse she did. Because we did that new day, like reveals new gimmick.
Didn't happen, but this it did happen now.
It happened this time, yeah.
So you know, Bliss is being made more of a focal point, sort of on par with the Fiend as opposed to just his valet, which I'm for. But there is I've lost this in my notes. There's a playground segment with Asuka and Bliss, and this was well done, I would argue, actually, as well. Bliss is sitting on her swing set. She doesn't let Asuka sit next to her because it's for someone else. She keeps kind of talking to this absent bit of space, which is, you know, she's talking to the Fiend, right? She's gone crazy. Well, and I liked all of this. What I didn't like was that Asuka is the person in this storyline. If you need someone, why not Nikki Cross? Apparently she's backstage fine. It fits with the whole friendship and history. And it's just like Asuka had to act like she was scared, like she wanted to make everything happy, so she kept dancing. And I just thought, it's hard to make me think Asuka looks like an idiot because she's awesome. But they succeeded here.
Yeah, this was not a good look for Asuka. I just want to say, apparently, we're having some technical issues with the stream. Apparently, it's a bit laggy. It's telling to us that we've got an excellent connection. So I do hope that we're going through fine for a few above. Just noticed a few people in the chat saying that it keeps crashing and freezing and stuff. So do bear with us, folks. But yeah, I thought that this made Asuka look quite poor. It made her look like a div, to be honest. And the fact that she's not really involved in the Charlotte storyline anymore. So like, her run as the Raw Women's Champion hasn't mattered a jot. And now her run as the Tag Team Champion isn't mattering a jot either. So yeah, this and I should have seen it coming, really, at the end, where I was like, okay, Bliss wins the main event, and then we're going to set her up for this new feud. It made her look quite lame.
Yeah, and that's what happens in the main event. It builds that they were behaving that way, knowing they've got to fight each other later as well. Like, why isn't Asuka just walking into this, being like, "I'm not having any of this nonsense." Everyone falls to Asuka. What was her old? Was that her old catchphrase?
Well, no one is ready for Asuka.
No one's ready for Asuka. That's it.
But like, yeah. Alexa Bliss is very ready for Asuka, one would seem, because like, she's scared. Like, she is literally scared of what Alexa Bliss is going to do. So she's going in there to be like dancing, be like, "Hey, no, it's okay. It's all cool. I'm a fun comedy character." And Alexa Bliss is like, "No, I'm the spooky character," in like spooky character 101 horror writing, which is just that I'm talking to an invisible. I've seen a rocking horse in the corner, so I'm going to go sit on the rocking horse. Like, the whole thing was just like, I mean, I wrote, like, this segment is terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, it is just, it made Asuka look lame. And do you know what? And by far, it was the least worst thing on the show, but it made Asuka look lame. I don't think Bliss looks particularly cool. And I'm just not into it.
I didn't. So I don't mind the segment. I thought it was the treatment of Asuka that was at fault here. But it went on later to the main event of the show, which was Bliss versus Asuka. And yeah, it's more of the same. Asuka is kind of scared, but she's going for Bliss. At least she's like still trying to be offensive. And then the lights start to cut out in the typical Fiend style. We go to break, we come back, and there's Bliss standing there, directly looking down the hard cam. Asuka's like, "Oh," you know, like, hasn't attacked at all in this time that's passed. And she's wearing black now. So she's like the goth version of Bliss.
So I didn't notice that she was wearing different. I didn't notice that she was wearing different lipstick. I'm sorry. I didn't notice that she was wearing different lipstick. I just noticed that she was like acting.
She had completely different clothes on.
I didn't notice. Like, it looks exactly the same. Like, I'm sorry, and I'm not saying that that is all on me. To be honest, it's all on me for not being that observant. But yeah, I honestly did not notice at first.
Well, she also changed up her wrestling style. You know that scene
that I did notice
near the end of The Matrix, when Neo realizes he is the one, and Agent Smith is trying to do all the fast fury hands, and Neo's just like, buff, 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 blocking, effortlessly blocking. That's what Bliss was doing to Asuka here. And then Bliss like smudged her lipstick, which was kind of a nice way to transition into the mandible claw. Then Bliss hit Sister Abigail, and she stood up, and then it went blurt, and it came back, and she's back into her old outfit again, which she was in before, the colourful playground outfit. And it goes off air with the Fiend's voice from her saying, "Let him in." You know, I don't hate it. What I hate is Asuka being in this slot. There is no reason. Like, this is not a storyline that's evolved from the writing team sitting down and going, "Okay, we've got Bliss's character. This is what she's going to do. Here's Asuka's character, and here's how Asuka's character is going to integrate herself and conflict and clash with Bliss's." That's not what they did. They wrote Bliss's story, and then they were like, "Well, we want this to be for the title, so let's put the champion in." Never once did they think about Asuka. And it's so disrespectful, because Asuka carried that show with Sasha Banks and Bayley through some very tough months in June, July, and August. And now they're treating her here as booking fodder, because I said it earlier, and I genuinely think this is what's happening. Bliss wins the title soon. Then she goes on to Mania, and Charlotte beats her for the title, because Charlotte is going to vanquish Lady Fiend.
And now, I do want to ask you, like, where you think this slots in, because Bliss did announce herself for the Rumble, so she's in the Rumble match. So do you do the title match at Fastlane or Elimination Chamber? Probably the Raw before WrestleMania, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, easy. Yeah. Any of those. Yeah, we've seen the WWE have no qualms just adding Charlotte to things nonsensically, or doing large title changes on insignificant B shows before WrestleMania. What we do know, however, is Charlotte and Alexa Bliss are two people that the company wants to be at the top of the division, and rightfully so. But it's just such a shame that it's coming at the expense of Asuka. I think that's the story doesn't suck. The character doesn't suck of Bliss, But Asuka's, like, the treatment of Asuka is unforgivable here.
But do you know what? I'm past it now. Honestly, I'm past it. Like, Asuka's been treated this way on the main roster since day one. Like, I'm over it now. Like, I'm past the point of getting upset about it. I'm past the point of getting frustrated about it, because the more things change, the more they stay the same. Mm. And, like, no matter if she's champion, no matter if she's a challenger, no matter if she's this, no matter if she's that, she's always just booking fodder. And, like, her title run has been laughably terrible, because she has been an absolute afterthought. Like, she was an afterthought to friggin' Lana being put through tables by Nia Jax, a story that has just been dropped like it was hot. And now, like, it's with, I couldn't care. Like, it's, and it sucks. And it sucks that I don't care, but I'm past the point now.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the WrestleTalk podcast is brought to you by the good folk over at manscaped.com.
One of the most painful things in life for us blokey blokes is pulling a hair out of our nose with tweezers.
No joke, I did it the other night while watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, though I did it with my fingers because I'm a man, and I really wish I hadn't, because it really hurt. And then I felt sad, and I was unable to enjoy Willow's traumatic journey to becoming Dark Willow.
Oh God, you're an idiot.
I am?
Because you should have used Manscaped's Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Trimmer, a trimmer they've spent over a year developing, reinventing the traditional nose trimmer into something way more effective. A 9,000 RPM motor, 360-degree rotary dual blade system, contoured 23-degree angle, water-resistant tech, and a lithium-ion battery that lasts so long I've had mine for 6 months and have yet to charge it.
So start off your 2021 right by upgrading your Manscaped routine to include the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Trimmer, and you can get 20% off with free international shipping by using our promo code WTTV at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com with the promo code WTTV to get 20% off and free international shipping.
Thanks, Manscaped, for making me a better man.
And thanks for letting me enjoy Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, we'll get to your Ultra Chats very shortly to see what you guys think. But first, help us out. UK viewers, go to beer52.com/WrestleTalk. We can cope with WWE's bad booking together. We are going to, if you're unaware, Beer 52 sends you a case of 8 craft beers every month. It's a subscription service. You get a free snack in there. Here's this month's one and a cool little magazine, which is really good. It's got recipes. It tells you more about the beer, just articles on beer in general. It's a great hobby to get into. And yeah, you get a free case for new signups if you go to our link in the video description below. Let's try this black IPA, Cthulhu.
It's called Cthulhu on the Moon, and it's by Kaiju Beer, and it says, the beer on the moon sucks. Ask Cthulhu. He knows the gravity's too low. Partial to the oxymoron, when he's thirsty, he always reaches for a Kaiju Black IPA and destroys it.
This is 6.5%. So I'm going to have a sip now, and then I'm going to put it in the fridge, and then I'm going to enjoy it later when I watch A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles. That's my evening plans, folks.
That's what it looks like as well, as a black IPA. It is literally black.
As a stout fan, that's really tasty. I'm getting orange. I'm getting a hint of lemon, along with those smoky, chocolatey flavors, typical of a dark.
Yeah, it is. It is actually a bit like a cross between a stout and an IPA.
Because
it is like it's got an IPA sort of like hoppiness to it. But yeah, it's definitely got those stouty flavors. Like, as you say, those undertones of chocolate in 100%.
We'll go over to beer52.com/wrestletalk to get your free case of 8 craft beers, UK viewers only. Right, let's get on with the hyper chats, ultra chats, whatever they're called now. I lose track. wrestletalk.com/support. Get them in there. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Marcel Arts. Hey, Maestro of the not apple-based alcohol Waldmeister here. I just wanted to drop by and say that I don't have a problem with the supernatural stuff in WWE. If it is written good, most of the time it isn't, but I still hate Drew for killing the spider pet.
Yeah, that's a callback to almost around this sort of time last year, yeah, when WWE revealed that Rowan had this mechanical spider pet. It went down like a lead balloon, so the next week, Drew killed it.
Rhys Johnson. Afternoon, lads. Another waste of 3 hours of my life. Really hate they've turned The Fiend into this stupid storyline about Alexa and Randy. I also have to disagree with Ollie. I found the Triple H Stephanie announcement about WrestleMania the best part of the whole show.
People loved it over the weekend. Someone messaged me. Like, I put out a tweet just about nothing in particular. Someone messaged me being like, why haven't you spoken about the WrestleMania announcement yet? And I wanted to reply, A, because it's, I don't care. It's just a location. I don't really mind. I'm not in America. I don't care. B, I didn't watch it until today. Mm. And yeah, it's exactly what I expected it to be.
Well, we'll cover it later. Jamie File. Randy the Red Nose Lucha had a very long promo, and if you've ever heard it, you could even say it goes on and on and on and on. Too long. This promo was too long.
It was about 10 minutes. About 10 minutes, this promo. Oh, it was long.
James Dobinson, I agree that the Alexa Bliss stuff is pushing the boundaries of suspending your disbelief, but we got a reminder last night of how good she can be in the ring. How do you honestly think this Fiend Bliss Orton storyline would go down with a live crowd? Interesting question. Brilliant.
I think it's gone down pretty. I mean, you wouldn't have been able to do half the stuff that they've done, but I think it still would have gone down. Like, you just got to look at the numbers on YouTube. Like, it is the most watched part of the show, going by the YouTube metrics. I think that the live crowd would be into this as well, because WWE caters to a casual audience. And I think the casual audience are really into this.
Yeah, I think the live crowd would get a big kick out of seeing Bliss as Sister Abigail. They've wanted it forever.
Totally.
And now it's happening.
You look at the comments that we had on last week's video where you and I were down, and comments on that TLC video when we were down on that. People really, really like this. And the people that really, I think, yeah, people would still get a kick out of it with a live crowd.
OG Slapjack. Why would you admit to that? So with that mask, I guess Randy Orton's in Retribution now. What should his bad Retribution name be? I would say Fireface, but seem to remember Sheamus already took that one. Very good. Randy's Retribution name. Viper needs something else, I think.
Viperly.
Fang.
Fang, there it is. Yeah, I was gonna say poison, that's almost too cool. Yeah, Fang is the one.
veins. Charles Berg, really great scene, legendary luchador, El Ranto on Raw. Asuka dancing made me question my existence. WWE will have a male wrestler transform into a demon, but the women just get dark lipstick. Also, Ricochet already sounds like a Retribution name.
Fair point. And he does have the recoil, which also sounds like a Retribution name. It's all right. That's fine. Just dark lipstick gives you powers.
Amro, when do you think the new Fiend will debut? I'd be so pissed if he just came back unchanged. Also, loved the Bliss stuff, except for the magic. She should definitely win the title soon. Bliss versus Flair at WrestleMania would be awful, though.
So that's a weird, like, you've said there's like, she should definitely win it, but I don't want to see her facing Charlotte.
Yeah, you can't have one without the other. The champion will always be involved with Flair in some way.
And I think we're going to see the Fiend at the Rumble. I think that he is going to be the one who is going to make Randy Orton get eliminated, or even eliminate Randy himself.
Leon Quashy, appreciate Orton's burn mask, but it looked like a B-Tech luchador of cheap local indie. I thought it actually looked quite unsettling. I liked the look. I made jokes about it, but I did enjoy it. Also, it's rare for me to find that AEW's women booking better than Raw's. Compare Abaddon and Shida with Asuka and the Bliss Fiend. Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't into the Shida Abaddon biting her either.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was okay, but it wasn't like, it's not my favorite thing that I've seen in AEW's women's division.
Variety. Black Adam, I've given up on Raw after the Fiend story. None of it makes sense anymore. Alexa's history doesn't warrant a Fiend version unless it's Bray possessing her from beyond the grave. I let out an audible sigh of disappointment every time I see Bliss in the ring. People, and I forgot about this, don't like Bliss, remember?
Do they not?
No. There is a large portion of people, or maybe a small but vocal, who just don't like Bliss. Like several years ago, she was kind of getting the same Charlotte Flair backlash that we have against Flair now. And I think a lot of people cling to that time. Because, yeah, Bliss wasn't the best wrestler in the division, but she was always getting the title shots and title reigns.
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, I seem to recall that. But I thought that everyone was like really loving this Alexa Bliss stuff at the moment. No. Like, particularly since she's been associated with the Fiend. And I disagree with Black Adam on that one as well. I think WWE have actually done a fairly solid job of making me believe that Alexa does belong with the Fiend now. I think the Fiend has, you know, that storyline through SmackDown that's now transferred over to Raw is that he has essentially manipulated her into the Funhouse. So I think that they've gone out of their way to, you know, over months to tell this story. Mm.
And finally for now, Benjamin John Milne, scared Japanese champion versus spooky monster. Just saying, AEW did it first and did it better.
Very good.
So let's get on with that. We'll answer all of your other Ultra Chats at the end of the show. Get them into wrestletalk.com/support. But let's speed through this boring episode of Monday Night Raw. So we had the Randy Orton promo first. Then we had Lacey Evans backstage with Ric Flair. They're having sex. Then they came out briefly for Charlotte Flair versus Peyton Royce to distract Charlotte, where Evans was wearing Ric's robe.
So Lacey said in her promo that she and Ric are going to go out there and watch my tag partner beat up that nasty Charlotte, right? Like, that's what her promo was. I'm going to go out and I'm going to watch Peyton Royce beat Charlotte Flair. What that actually translated into is that she went out wearing a robe for an ad break and then walked to the back.
Yeah.
To what end did Lacey Evans... To what end was Lacey Evans' plan here? To what end, Ollie?
Well, I thought Royce looked pretty good, actually. She showed a more vicious side as she attacked Charlotte before the bell. There was a really cool moment when she was on the apron and she sort of did this over her back heel kick.
Yeah, scorpion kick.
Hard to do, yeah. But overall, of course, Charlotte's going to get those losses back Peyton beat her 2 weeks ago, so Charlotte made her tap in the figure eight here, and there was no Flair or Evans to be seen. Do you think Evans or and Royce are done?
Well, no, because she said she's my tag partner. So they are still a team.
Why didn't they stick around? To what end? Yeah.
To what end? My other favorite thing about this is that, and I love this about wrestling. I just love this about wrestling. You know when a heel puts on a submission hold and then they win the match and they don't let it go because they just want to brutalize their opponent even more. And the commentators go like, oh, what a dastardly, horrible act. You've already won the match. You've proved your point. You can let go of the hold now. Charlotte did it here. And the babyface commentators were going like, what a statement. I mean, she had to make that statement. She had to make that statement to Peyton Royce. I mean, good on her for making that statement. That's what I love about wrestling.
Peyton sold it really well, I thought. I was impressed with Peyton here. Riddle is backstage. This was the best part of the show. Riddle's backstage. Hurt Business walk in. Riddle, of course, was sort of easily dispatched by Bobby Lashley last week, completely taking any momentum or steam out of their very good feud so far. And Bobby Lashley squares up to him. Riddle says he's going to take the high road because he smokes the ganja. And Bobby says, I like the flip-flops you've got on. Cameraman thinks, I'm going to do an arty shot here. I'm going to get those flip-flops in shot. He tracks back to get both men full in shot. And Bobby stomps on Matt Riddle's foot, misses it by, ironically, a foot. But Riddle sells it anyway.
Yeah, I don't mind it, man. You know, it's a pre-tape. Probably could have taped it again. But yeah, I didn't mind it. I didn't spot it until you mentioned it.
Not as fake as The Fiend getting burned at the end of TLC. Even then. That set up something later on. He was with the Lucha House Party backstage. They've got an inexplicable friendship. Xavier Woods then took on Mace. I actually thought that, you know, it's a shame that Woods is just being used as someone for Retribution to beat because Mace beat him here. But I do like how Ali is framing a rivalry, did this in a pre-match promo, against the currently injured Kofi Kingston, saying, I had Mace taken away from me when Kofi Mania took off because Ali got injured. And now Kofi's out injured. Now it's Ali's time. I think that's a great basis for a feud.
They had this promo on social media like a couple of hours before the show started. And I thought to myself, wow, I cannot wait for this to not be mentioned on TV. And it's just because like that's the story of Retribution, isn't it? Like they've been trying to start stuff on Twitter. They've been trying to start stuff on Raw Talk. And then WWE creators be like, that's not what your gimmick is. Stop trying to make this the gimmick. You're just a bunch of lads. And it's the first time that they're in a storyline that makes complete sense. And I really like that. And it's like, finally, there's something about this group that bloody makes sense. And I'm all for it. It's about time. And I like that. It's great character motivation.
Yeah. So Mace beat Woods there. So both T-Bag and Mace have beaten Woods in back-to-back weeks. Sort of putting over Ali, good leader as well. Now, here is where we got the WrestleMania report. For those who haven't seen it yet, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are dressed up like fake news anchors called Henry E. Pankey and Anita Realman. So Hanky Panky and I Need a Real Man. They threw to various people, various WWE superstars who dressed up in their own gimmicks, apart from Roman Reigns, who's just Roman Reigns. Sasha Banks was Hailey Mary, and John Cena was
Hail Mary.
Hugh can't see me. And Reigns announced that WrestleMania 37 will be in Tampa Bay. Banks announced 38 in Texas, and John Cena announced 39 will be in Hollywood. So the next 3 years of WrestleMania are laid out.
Cool. I mean, Ollie Davis. Do you know what's going to happen in 4 years' time? WrestleMania is going to happen. Probably in March or April, there'll be a WrestleMania. Do you know what's going to happen the year after that? There'll be a WrestleMania. So, them announcing, guys, WrestleMania is happening. It's not like a holy crap, like stop all the news. We've got to write up a news story that a WrestleMania is happening next year. Because of course WrestleMania is happening.
I beg to differ. I think after the year we've had, it is bold. It is bold to commit stuff that far in advance.
Dude, card subject to change. Card subject to change.
Anyway, I'd say people like this. All the power to you, I guess. It's like the, I guess they were going for a sort of Southpaw regional wrestling meets Anchorman style of comedy. It is quite fun to see Triple H dress up. He is good at comedy. Everyone did their roles fine. But then there was a weird bit of like sexual tension between Stephanie and Triple H at one point that was played up as a joke. And then the report ends and Triple H and Stephanie remove their outfits, being like, oh, that's over, because it was them all along. And I was just like, so what was the joke here?
I don't know.
What was the why would the reveal that's not actually them? Why it would that joke works if they reveal themselves to be like Miz and Morrison?
Oh god, that'd have been so much more. That would have been way funnier. Like if Stephanie had gone like this and it was Asuka,
yeah,
like that would have been way funnier. Yeah,
but that's how jokes work. You do the unexpected thing. Why did they? Yeah. I didn't get it. It was cool to see them dressed up, but I don't know. Sorry, folks, I've got higher standards. I don't know.
This guy here didn't like WandaVision. Like he has got high standards.
I didn't say that. I said it's more episodic than I had planned for. Oh, but it's meant to be episodic. Then we got the Asuka playground segment. Then we got Mandy Rose versus Shayna Baszler. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm done with this feud.
You know how, like I said at the start, it's like I'm just past, like, you know, the Asuka thing. I'm in the same boat with Shayna Baszler now. At least I thought I was until someone shared a picture of Shayna Baszler with Duke and Shafir. And I was like, oh, that's right. That's what Shayna Baszler is. That's the Shayna Baszler I want. As it happens, this Baszler beat Rose again, and nothing is achieved.
Yep, Nia Jax is still sort of sowing seeds of dissension with Shayna. She was being very moody on commentary. And then they challenged Asuka and Charlotte for the tag team titles after.
Well, what they said was, we never got our rematch. And what I wanted to say was, well, that's because the automatic rematch clause was denounced a couple of years ago, but they're just hoping that we forgot that so they can. It's like Adam Pearce. They're just hoping that they forgot that they said there's not going to be any more authority figures anymore. Now they're just sort of putting one in there.
They had the audacity to say that, to say our automatic rematch clauses essentially. And then just two segments later, Adam Pearce is booking a Royal Rumble qualifier match.
I know, right? Well, not only that, but like last week on this show, Adam Pearce said to Drew Gulak, well, you can't just announce yourself for the Royal Rumble. And then 2 seconds later, someone did. And then in the week, Miz just announced himself for the Rumble. So like, and blistered on this show. So yeah, no consistency.
So Charlotte sort of ignored Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler's challenge that they made immediately, just now, and just talked about Evans. Like the tag title on her shoulder is, I said it in the review, is just a prop. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Yeah. It's insanely, cynically transparent. But yeah, after that, we got the best thing on the show by quite some way. Ricochet versus AJ Styles. Of course it's going to be good. And these two guys in the ring, it was for Ricochet to prove he's worthy for a Rumble space. AJ Styles is apparently now the gatekeeper to the Rumble on Raw. This was a really good match that just had this like underlying sadness because Ricochet is signed up to WWE until 2024, it turns out, not until the end of this month. And I just had this realization, we're never going to see him in his prime, what he can actually do in a wrestling company.
Is he not feuding with Retribution anymore? Like Ali said,
he is.
Well, that's when, yeah. So like a couple of weeks ago, Ali said to him, "This doesn't end until you join Retribution." Have they just moved on now? Are they just like, actually, it's Kofi I don't like now?
It's such a good storyline. There's multiple plates spinning.
Anyway, I'm being facetious. This match was awesome. This match was really, really great. Absolutely loved it. I could do without the Omos stuff. Like, Omos just keeps interfering in matches and does not get DQ'd for it. It's that could do one. But like everything that these two lads just did in the ring was so, so great. The recoil reversal of the phenomenal forearm was amazing.
Yep.
And then this finish was mind-blowing. No matter how many times I watch it, I still cannot work out how it happened. Because essentially what AJ did is that he drops Ricochet onto the ropes, and Ricochet somehow bounces off those ropes, off the top of the ropes, into a Styles Clash position. I don't know how.
He's made of flubber.
He is. Yeah, it's crazy.
Like that could have gone so wrong. I mean, it's very unlikely to, because the caliber of both guys in the ring. My God, AJ is one of the best wrestlers that's ever lived. But yeah, Ricochet bounced off the ropes with his head going into the center of the earth. AJ catches him in that sort of upside down position. Phenomenal. Didn't even mean to do that. Phenomenal finish. AJ wins, though. So it's like, oh, okay. So I thought the story of this match was Ricochet proving he's worthy. He might have got a win on AJ to get into the Rumble, because the commentators were putting over Ricochet really strongly here. So I thought, oh, okay, they're going to give Ricochet a push.
Well, I wonder if next week AJ is going to say to Adam Pearce, this kid should go in the Rumble. Like, he should get a shot. Maybe.
Maybe on the go-home show. Well, after that, I am curious to get your reaction, because I quite enjoyed this, and I seem to be the only person who did. So it was a dirt sheet segment with Miz and Morrison. Better than Miz TV, I've decided, because Morrison can be a bit sillier. And it's built up through the whole show. We're getting Goldberg as a special guest on this. I was quite intrigued. And then they totally worked me when Goldberg came out instead, which is really great to see, because he had a heart attack last year. He's doing much better now, it seems. And Goldberg comes out, then another actor playing sort of out of shape Drew McIntyre with his butt crack poking through a kilt came out as well. And they just, yeah, they did a 10 years ago, they would have been little people.
Yeah, is that the end of your point?
It's that kind of segment. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, you say 10 years ago, but we did this a couple of years ago with Big Cass. Remember, that's what got him fired, was because he'd beat up the guy too much.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought overall, I really enjoyed the Goldberg reveal. And when Miz cut his promo at the end, I thought he switched it on really well. And he made this about, you two are both losers, because no matter what happens at the Rumble, I'm going to cash in, and I'm the Miz, and I'm next. I thought it was a money promo at the end from Miz.
Well, that's my problem I have with Miz, is that he keeps cutting these money promos and then undermining it by doing a load of crap around it, which I don't blame him for, because, you know, it's the writer, he's working with what he's got. But he's booked like such a goofball. Then he cuts all of some of these like fiery promos where you're like, take me serious. I'm like, but I can't, because you're booked like an idiot. Like, it's impossible to, like, the two don't quite match. I as soon as they announced Goldberg was on the show, I was like, I wrote my notes, I bet you it's Goldberg.
Ah, you saw it coming.
I saw it coming, but at the same time, I was like, but at the same time, I was like, I kind of hope it is Goldberg, though, because it's Goldberg, right? I bloody love Goldberg. Goldberg gives me lots of like nostalgic, like love and stuff. Like that really made me smile seeing Dwayne Gill come out and he's doing the full on, like the full on Goldberg stuff. I mean, it may just be because he's always looked 100, but he hasn't aged a day in, like, you know, the 20 years that he's been doing this. And it was tremendous to see. He was actually my favorite thing about this whole segment. I thought he was the star of this.
Yeah.
And like the lad that comes out dressed as Drew who was, it felt like it was a compromise. It felt like they wanted to do a little person, but they don't want to do little people anymore because it might be seen as like, so they were like, who's the shortest person we have here? And can we find someone that's just a touch shorter than him? Because it wasn't a short person, but he was probably about 4'11". He was probably about the size of Marco Stunt. And I was like, oh man, it's 1999 all over again, but not in a good way. And I did laugh at him doing an Irish accent and then John Morrison being like, that's the wrong accent. Mm. But overall, I thought this was quite bad. And then like the Miz at the end to be like, and now take me seriously as I cut this promo. I'm like, well, kind of hard with all the crap you've done elsewhere in this segment. And also it's like, I don't want Miz with the Money in the Bank contract. You've already lost it, mate. And it's again, it's just more bait and switch BS.
Sorry, I was just trying to find the name of the actor because apparently he's in the Santa Claus 2.
Ah, which was the Miz in that one? No, Santa Claus 2 was a different movie. I was thinking of Jingle All the Way 2.
Yeah,
pretty sure Miz was in. Or maybe that was a different one. Maybe Santino was in that one. Either way.
Do you think it will annoy anyone who tuned in hoping for Goldberg?
Oh, 100%. But then again, I think if you watch WWE because they've advertised something and then you're disappointed when it doesn't happen, that's on you, man. Like, you should learn by now. Fool me once. Shame on me. Like, come on, guys, at this point.
Well, after that, we got Hurt Business versus the Lucha House Party with Matt Riddle. So a six-man tag. I was excited for this, foolishly, because I thought this would be a really good six-man. But it wasn't. It was more of an angle. Like, I would say this is 70% angle, 30% match, because it was all about Shelton and Cedric not getting along. Cedric's tagging himself in. Shelton's tagging himself in. Bobby eventually has enough. He's like, I'm going to win. And he taps out Metalik.
Yeah. The good guys can't even beat an arguing Hurt Business. Like, they were like beating themselves and they still couldn't get the win. I was also slightly annoyed at Riddle here because that this whole thing had started off by the fact that, you know, Bobby Lashley stood on his foot, right? And then later on, like, he's, you know, he's selling his foot backstage. And then he's even got, like, you know, his foot is taped up because Bobby Lashley stood on it. So what does he do? He leaps over the ropes to kick off his flip-flops. I'm like, you're absolutely fine, mate. Like, why are you even wearing the tape at this point?
It's the Seth Rollins mode of selling. But I've taped up the ribs. I'm going to do my moves.
Ow. Obviously, it hurts.
I'm going to dive. I'm Seth Rollins. Ooh. Dive. Ooh.
But yeah, it's the Hurt Business one. I don't want to see the Hurt Business in fighting. Like, it'd be nice to have a tag team that gets on for a change.
And it really sort of drew a line under Riddle here, I thought. He scuffled with Bobby afterwards, but mostly ran away. Ugh, done such a poor job with him.
But you know what, dude? It's absolutely fine, because despite the fact that we've got Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler as warring tag partners, and now we've got the Hurt Business as warring tag partners, likely we could still get Charlotte and Asuka as warring tag partners. At least Elias and Jackson Riker are getting on. They're not warring tag partners. Oh, no, wait. They're also warring tag partners, and they're still feuding with Jeff Hardy, which I think they have been now for a year?
Yeah. Yeah, so Hardy had a match with Jackson Riker. He kind of had it won. But I'm bored. I'm bored of counting this.
You're also wrong. Hardy had the match won, and then Elias tripped Hardy for the DQ, which is why he and Riker started arguing. On commentary, they had the gall to say, and this came to a conclusion with their Symphony of Destruction match. I'm like, how can it be a conclusion when it's still going on?
Yeah. So that happened, and it is still going along. And Drew McIntyre cut a promo from home in front of a weight bench, said he'll be back on Raw next week, and Goldberg's going to be there too for a face-to-face, which is probably good, because that's the go-home show.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. There's only one other thing I just want to bring up, and that is the fancy new entrance camera. How good does that thing look?
It makes it look like a video game, though. Like, it's, but here's the thing, it's so realistic, it doesn't look real anymore. Like, it's so it's so crisp and clear, it doesn't look real. Like, I thought at times they were just playing footage from a video game, but like, I saw the clip from like Roman's entrance on SmackDown. dude, it looks so cool. But that might all just be because Roman looks awesome at the moment with Jay and like and Paul behind him. But yeah, there are times of this where I'm like, I'm not sure if this is real life or if this is, it's like a video game, Cole.
Yeah, so what it is, if you haven't seen it, folks, it's essentially the shallow depth of field trick they have on phones, on those phones now, where the person walking down the ramp is in focus, but everything around them is out of focus. Very artistic, very cinematic. Sort of, if you go back to the sort of 90s and earlier, any sports photograph or old footage has that aesthetic because the lenses weren't good enough to get everyone in focus. So I really like that. I thought it was cool. I appreciate it a lot. They'll do it to death and I'll hate it in a month's time. But for now, I really enjoyed it.
It may be the end of AR. Like if they're more into this, they may stop doing the AR entrances.
Oh my. Don't get my hopes up. Overall, I thought this was a 2 out of 4 show, but a low 2 out of 4. Like if it had something slightly worse on, I would have given it a bore right at the bottom.
Yep. In the chat, like Twitter gave it 32% good, 33% poor. So it is very much more weighted to that poor and terrible side of things. But yeah, I thought it was a well boring show, mate. But then again, like, actually, I kind of thought it was better than last week's show, in a way.
God, they're just... Raw's on a bad streak right now. Go over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page, become a pledge hammer, because... It's your new favorite segment, Producer Rich. Cue the music for the WrestleTalk Pledge Hammer Hall of Fame inductees of January 2021. He's just sent me a message. Music is playing. It's the $25 a month or more backers on Patreon. The Harbinger, Doom Lion.
So lovely. I think it might be the Harbinger. Here comes the money. Fred Buckland.
All-Star. Chuck Taylor.
Turner.
I'll start reading these rather than doing silly expressions.
Infinite Crisis. Chris Jenkins.
Duncan. Just Duncan.
Butter Me Up. Soren Nord.
The Pharaoh, Stephen Mercer Pharaoh.
Manipulating Manny Umaria.
Peter Fiber Brontos.
Ari and Shifra, the Boozerweights.
Please, sir, can I have some more Dom Hall bags?
And lastly, for the January 19th, 2021 Hall of Fame inductions, living in the past, Kieran Pryor.
Thank you, everybody, so much. Such great careers all of those guys have had, and girls. And go over, become a patron, get your own shout-out, loads of exclusive content. Luke and I are recording tomorrow. Wrestle Talk Extra, the podcast exclusive for this month, where we are reviewing Royal Rumble 2010.
Oh, mate, fun show that.
Yeah, great Rumble. Really enjoyed that show. Right, so let's get in with all of your hyper chats. Remember, wrestletalk.com/support. Get them in. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Black Adam, don't get me wrong. I love Bliss, Mr. Davis. It's just the Fiend stuff that doesn't work for me. She was quite clearly shoehorned into the Fiend story with Braun, and I haven't understood why she stayed. At least have Abby the Witch trick her for her body.
I think they sort of did, didn't they? Wasn't that what the swamp match was? She revealed she was Sister Abigail. Was the swamp match a dream? Have we decided? Was it real?
I don't know. I quite liked how they weaved in Braun's past relationship with Bliss and how, I didn't mind
I've actually really enjoyed it. Like my problem is not Bliss with the Fiend. My problem is more, and I know some of the comments think that we're at fault here because we have put on this idea that people have said that the Fiend was always a magical character, whereas like in my mind, he wasn't a magical character, but they've now made him a magical character. In the same way that Bray Wyatt was not a magical character, but WWE made him a magical character.
On the subject of Asuka, James Dobinson, lots of people saying Asuka got buried on this week's Raw. She was doing nothing before tonight. Now she has a feud, main evented Raw, and this could lead to a bit of Kana. Kana, of course, is her gimmick before joining WWE. I'd say that's better than just being a sidekick to Charlotte. Thoughts?
I think you're grasping if you think that we're going to get Kana.
Yeah, and it's just sort of a fast track to losing the title here.
She'll be in the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. Just you wait.
The Jam won Ryan B. Jam. This was another piss poor Raw. It's the worst wrestling show in the week for a long time now. Also, Asuka has been booked worse than Shida over the last couple of months.
I will agree with that one. While I don't think I wasn't hugely into the Shida Abaddon stuff, I do. At least she's had feuds. At least she's had like title feuds. Asuka hasn't had one of those in months now.
Mont Black 1989. I love Ollie's rant and I agree with Luke. It sucks, but I'm just tired of caring now. It's super obvious that they don't care for Asuka, especially when she won the title a few years ago and they just had Charlotte steamroll her so she had one.
Yeah, totally.
Do you want a hot tag in?
I will do. Hot tag. Laramie Shona. I thought that Riddle's frostbitten feet didn't feel pain. I'm confused. Is that canon or not? What an excellent point.
I was on SmackDown.
Sadie Lady 59. The fact that we know Drew has the Rona and my heart stopped when his music played during that fire garbage can of a segment. I despise you, Miz and Co. Also, a weekly reminder that Shayna deserves better than mediocre 50-50 booking. It's not 50-50. She keeps winning. She beat Dana Brooke. She won in the tag match. She won this week. She keeps winning.
She lost to Dana Brooke last week.
Oh, it was 2 weeks ago. I think that was the week I was off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same as Asuka. Like this, she's so much more talented than what they see in her.
New Punk rants: how is Raw not worse than Nitro? Because Nitro had one full hour on a three-hour show of no wrestling. At least we're getting wrestling on the show. Nothing on Raw makes any sense. Everything that happens is pointless. They've done Russo angles. They bury younger talent for old talent. It's worse because it's a billion-dollar company. It's a shame. But Nitro was a billion-dollar company as well, in fairness.
Yeah, owned by Turner. Is that the sort of metric you're using? Yeah, and it's not as bad as Nitro, but it's like it's getting worse every week. It's more boring than anything.
Yeah, at least there was something to talk about Nitro. Like when they buried Ric Flair in the desert, you're like, I mean, they buried Ric Flair in the desert. And, you know, like they carted him off to the mental institute and things like that. Like there was always nonsense stuff, but like it is like, at least it's newsworthy stuff. Mm. Amro, do you guys think that Mustafa Ali could be the next CM Punk? Maybe that his maybe that'll be his big year storyline, summer storyline. Ali is even in a similar position as Punk, being in a crappy group that's going nowhere. Also, I loved WandaVision. I'm not a Marvel guy. Amro, crappy group? The Straight Edge Society was amazing, if that's what you're talking about. What other crap group was he a part of?
Nexus. Yeah. At the time, he got the Summer of Punk storyline.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll give you that.
I don't think that will happen. I don't think he's the same kind of person either. I think Mustafa Ali has a good go of being the next Mustafa Ali. He's not a punk, and not a guy in the punk mold.
Yeah. I agree. And Brett J. Rasmussen, WWE, now that we have a successful tag team, let's have them fighting among themselves and break them up. Why would you do that? Because it'll be a moment. That's why. Who cares if it makes sense? Also, did you see Fightful's post-Raw show yesterday? I haven't seen listened to the full episode yet because I've had quite a bit on today, but I do usually listen on a weekly basis. So the 1 week I did miss.
Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. So I just want to say, oh dear, and sorry as you have to watch Raw. I think I'm done with Raw. I haven't watched for 3 weeks now, given it the 3 week push. Can you review SmackDown Live again instead? How can Raw be so bad compared to SmackDown? Isn't it the same creative team? Jam that jam. Well, Pete and Andy do a great job reviewing SmackDown on Saturdays. It's overseen by the same person, Bruce Pritchard, but apparently Bruce is more focused on SmackDown. It's a different team doing Raw now. That changed in the summer.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Someone keeps calling me, so I'm assuming it was something that was desperate. So I've just messaged my wife being like, can you call this number? They keep calling me. It's kind of like a different creative. But like at the same time, it's the same guy signing it off. Mm. It still ends at the end of the day.
One's 3 hours. I think it's too long for a wrestling show. Michael Dominguez, since no one asked, here's how you turn Roman face. Why? Doesn't have to be soon, just how to. Joe steps up and chokes out his family members individually at their houses, like Wendy, but more intense, almost uncomfortable. I'm not wasting money on this Raw.
Yeah, you don't need to be turning Roman Reigns babyface at any point soon.
I don't think that's a way to do it either. Sadie Lady 59, why are some guys like Orton, Hardy, Bryan, even Otis, etc. allowed to just declare that they're in the Royal Rumble and everyone else is like, coolio, big boy, but guys like Drew Gulak and Ricochet have to earn their way in. Make it make sense. It makes perfect sense. They're main event talent, whereas show main event talent.
Exactly. Like, I think that's what they're saying is that Drew Gulak hasn't done anything to prove. Like, AJ got in because AJ's a former WWE champion and things like that, whereas Drew Gulak is just a former 27. Who is the 24/7 champion?
Probably R-Truth.
Cool. And the same with Ricochet. Like, Ricochet hasn't done anything of note since February last year. So I think that's kind of like the reason why they have to prove themselves.
Amro, so have we just forgotten about Ronda Rousey training to come back? What do you guys think she should do if she returns? They would probably give her the Royal Rumble win. I think she should come back and face Becky Lynch in a non-title match at WrestleMania.
Aton, if you want to have Becky back at this point.
Those were the reported plans late last year.
Yeah, what, Becky versus Ronda?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I'd had as my prediction that it was going to be Ronda Charlotte at WrestleMania, the main event this year. So, I mean, I'm probably way off on that one now. But yeah, I could definitely see Ronda Rousey in the Rumble.
Renee, Mr. Davis, you're the boss. You've got power. You know Raw is bad and SmackDown is great. So why don't you use that power for good? Maybe a shaking up you and Luke review SmackDown and enjoy yourselves while Pete and Datsun get the weekend off. Winky face. He said it there. Don't want to work on a Saturday. Zachary Jenkins, hey guys, do you have any crazy wrestling scenarios that would never happen but would be cool in real life? Example, Will Ospreay beat Seth Rollins in a 2 out of 3 falls match at WrestleMania. That's so crazy. Do you have any crazy
ones? I don't. Also just reminded myself of then. Do you remember like the Vader stuff with Ospreay and Ricochet? Remember Vader got super mad about their match and was like, that's not how you're supposed to work. So then they booked a match and it was Vader versus Ricochet in the UK. They paid
Ospreay.
It was Ospreay, wasn't it? And they paid him like big money to come over because he agreed to lose. So they paid him big money to come over to the UK and face Ospreay. And then he got there and was like, I ain't losing. And they'd already advertised it and everyone had paid their money. So Vader just went out there and won.
I'll go for Kenny Omega versus CM Punk. There you go. In a ladder match. WrestleMania.
I'm going to do that, but at Double or Nothing, because I'm an AEW mark.
Mr. Burt Wayne, international superstar Masha Slamovich is to make her US return at Thunder Rosa's Mission Pro Wrestling's Wishes Granted Live on February 6th only on Title Match Network. And our hot tag to you for the...
Tengu Ray, it said, Luke, I was listening to an older podcast you did with Knees where you talked about how much wrestling hates its fans. After doing a lot of research, I found that topic so interesting. Have you thought about doing a podcast episode about it? I haven't, no. But it is like, it is one of the few industries in the world that genuinely hates the people that watch it. They want your money, but they don't want you to give them any sort of feedback.
It's the carnival roots of wrestling where fans and paying members of the audience were seen as marks, people to con.
Yeah. They continue, sorry, I couldn't fit this all in my last Omega chat, but I do think it's incredibly interesting because as a huge comic book, manga and video game, nothing compares to how wrestling hates its own fans at times. Thank you for all the amazing content.
I'd say it works both ways. No, I've never seen anything hate the thing they love more than wrestling fans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. I was going to say, it's this and Star Wars are the two fandoms I've been a part of that hate the product that they're also the biggest fans in the world of. Laramie Shinar says, looked up Blue Monday after you guys posted about it. I can't believe there's a thing in the UK, but then I remembered that America has a holiday dedicated on whether or not a groundhog is scared of its own shadow to decide how long spring comes.
It's not so much a holiday. It's just a statistically significant date where everyone gets really depressed. And yeah, people saw that and was like, well, let's try and be happy on that day. Counteract some of it.
Caleb Maldonado. Hey, guy. Hey, Luke, how was the move? Also, thoughts on WandaVision? I really loved it. I've watched it a couple of times now to try and pick up on various different bits. I think Catherine Hahn is the best thing in the show. I think she is an absolute delight. I'm really, really enjoying it so far. I'm very intrigued to see future episodes.
I thought it was too episodic, but I will keep watching. I thought some bits were very good. The parody is top notch, or the homage, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and the move went very well.
Sorry, I was going to say, why the hell do they have really flashy end credits? That gets my goat.
Well, you've got to have like the end credits, haven't you?
Make the end credits fit with the overall theme of the show.
Or maybe it is. Maybe it's all tying in together because, like, at the end, spoilers. You know what happens at the end of the first episode. Also, like the beekeeper. Anyway, I was maybe like, oh. Anywho, but yes, my move went very well. Thank you very much for asking. We're all settled in this. Some people have said you can hear a bit too much of an echo in this room now because there's nothing in it. The Zornice said, this doesn't have to be read out, but I'd like to know, where can I send a parcel with vegan gummy bear stuff for Luke? Is the address of the office fine? Suppose you kept it. None of us are going to the office at the moment, so don't send anything currently because none of us will be able to pick it up.
Thank you very much. A few people have asked, but we're not taking any deliveries of anything until everything's better.
No, and someone, I believe it was on our Survivor Series chat, was posting my address in the chat. So I think it's probably best if we just get stuff delivered to the office. Bacon Rasher says, hi, guys. I love Beer 52, and I've been getting them for ages. Definitely would recommend the one you have today. I had last night. Now I've got the Salted Caramel Milkshake IPA. It's really nice. Also, Quizzlemania War Games, please, versus Wrestling Daily. Did I tell you I thought of a way to make that work?
Yeah, yeah. But that would have been good in November.
Hey, well, there'll be another November. There's another one coming up this year. Like WrestleMania, there will always be a November.
Hopefully.
Should we make a big announcement? Should we do an announcement video that there will be a November? Because that's what you got to do, really. I'll put a wig on or something.
There is one constant, and that is I am your jam, that champion, all year long. Of course, we'll have some Royal Rumble announcements about what's going on next week for the championship and our own Rumble match. Subscribe to Wrestle Talk to know more. Thank you so much for everyone who joined us today and all your lovely hyper chats. Remember, go to beer52.com/WrestleTalk to get your free case of 8 craft beers. UK viewers only.
We had an email in from Nishant who says, dear Luke and Ollie, hello there and how the devil are you boys? I'm from India. I've been a fan of WrestleTalk for years now. During my time at university, I met this dude who would smother his pizza in mayonnaise. I found it repulsive. What do you think? WrestleTalk is the best. Love you guys. Jam that jam.
Oh, the pizza etiquette debate continues.
One whole email about it.
I also smother my pizza in mayonnaise. I big squeezy bottle of mayo with my co-op stuffed crust margarita, and I will just like empty a third of that bad boy into one bit of the plate, and I will dunk. And I'll always think, God, that's too much mayonnaise. Like that's an unhealthy amount of mayonnaise to have in one sitting. And every time I have to top it up. I've got to leave the bottle. Because by I'll run out by the last slice.
Yeah, no, dude, I'm totally with you. Like, my wife is a mayonnaise on pizza person. Maybe not like smothering it, but certainly for dipping purposes. But also, I'm not one to talk because I quite like American mustard, like on the side, and I can dip into, like, particularly for the crust and stuff. That and burger sauce, I'm a big fan of for dipping.
For a pizza, burger sauce.
Yeah. Well, it's just ketchup and like mustard, like kind of mixed together with some guy cornichons.
Yeah, I've never. So the American mustard is like the hot dog yellow,
yes,
mustard,
right? Yeah, like, the yellower the better.
The cartoon mustard,
exactly. Yeah, like I do like mustard, but I kind of prefer the American mustard because it doesn't like get up all in my nostrils and like make me choke on stuff. And I've got to be really careful with that with the missing tooth.
How's that going?
Oh, it's fine. I don't feel the pain anymore, and I'm actually able to eat on the other side of my mouth. And
I want like a recap package of the tooth.
Well, we did get that email, the tweet last week that told me not to tell any more graphic stories, so I won't. But it's funny, me and I was filming a board game club recently, and me and someone else on there were just like comparing our missing teeth together. And Adam was just like, are you two Dickensian children? But yeah. Do you want to? Oh, we haven't already got time to do a League of Lockdown entry.
We've talked too much about WandaVision. Luke and I haven't actually spoken since last Thursday, have we?
No.
We've texted and messaged a bit back and forth, but this is actually the first time we've talked in 5 days.
It happens. This is what happens when we don't do meetings on a Monday morning anymore, which is good, which I'm really happy for, by the way, because I got to, obviously, I had to film the news for you yesterday and I had to sort of step
technical
in and do
this. Yeah.
Oh, mate. Yeah. What a frantic thing. Like, Kate messaged me and was like, are you coming down for breakfast? I was like, I can't. I've got to do the news. Simon's expecting the news.
I felt like I was breaking an emergency glass. What happened, folks, is for some reason, I only have one SD card. Like, they talk about single points of failure in engineering. That is a massive lapse of planning there. And it just didn't work.
The other one, right? You know where the other one is?
Have you got it?
I've got it. Because remember, when I got the filming equipment last year to do that news for the week when you had it off, and I said, oh, man, I left the SD card in. Do you want me to send it to you? You said, no, it's okay. I've got one here. You hold on to that one, and you can give it back to me when we're in the office.
Yeah. Yeah, should have bought another one. should have bought a backup. And it just didn't work. It didn't read. So I had to message Luke and he stepped in last minute. Yeah, it felt like I was picking up the bat phone for the first time. that morning, it was real. I didn't know what to do. But we haven't had a single bit of technical difficulty for the whole of lockdown.
It's impressive.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that is all we've got time for this edition of the podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with the AEW review. Then it's reunited and it feels so good. Me and Denise back together again for the magazine show this coming Friday. Pete and Andy doing the SmackDown review on Saturday. Take care, everyone. Love you. Goodbye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.